You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to The Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, April 14th show. It is a great day to talk money, and that's what the show is all about, how to make money, save money, and build a better quality of life for you and your family. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast, but you can talk with the guests that I have on the show today by calling 1-855-400-1150 or going online at themoneyhour.com. In studio right now and for the entire day, so you definitely will want to stay in tune for the rest of the hour. I have Elise Enriquez with Elise Enriquez Coaching and Consulting. And my conversation with Elisa today is about overcoming overwhelm. Elisa, thank you. First time in studio with me. Excited.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Of course. A little bit about Elise. Elise is a productivity coach who works with growing solo entrepreneurs and entrepreneurs to create simple systems to sustain success. She takes a highly personalized approach to helping business owners overcome overwhelm of life and business. And I'm sure some of my listeners, you might be listening, you've definitely been there. You can pick the destination, and Elise helps you enjoy the journey. And I love that. My book is Journey With Me. I think everybody, we're all on a journey, and to really be able to bring in and work with people that can help us master as we're on that journey is just beautiful. So Elise, how did you become a coach?
Well, I was at Microsoft for a number of years. That was my first real professional gig, was to be there doing process and policy work. And really that work is about, when I look back at it, was sitting around conference room tables.
Yes.
Getting people on the same page and moving projects forward.
Uh-huh.
And I loved my time there. I loved the people there. I felt cared for by the company, but it still wasn't what I wanted to do, right? It was online advertising. That just wasn't my thing. So I moved on to real estate, of all things, after that. I think a lot of people probably did. I did it a little bit later than some people did in terms of right when the market was shifting and about to reach its peak, which was actually a great time to become an agent because you had to actually learn how to be an agent, right?
Yes.
So it was a good time to be an agent and become a true professional in the industry.
Uh-huh.
And that was me basically driving around in cars with people, getting them on the same page and moving these projects forward.
Yes.
So it's that same kind of thing of like getting consensus, moving forward, getting consensus and moving forward. And when I was in real estate, I actually hired a coach at that time. There's a lot of, as you know, in the real estate lending world, a lot of real estate coaching companies and lender coaching companies. And so I hired one of those coaches and knew at some point that I wanted to get out of real estate. It still wasn't quite right. It was more personal, but it still wasn't quite right. And I asked that coach for help with that, and she couldn't help me because she only helps people with specifically real estate and real estate coaching.
To build their real estate business.
To build their business and to build their business the way that their, you know, the lead coach, the lead guy, you know, build his business.
Of course.
Right? So I went and explored on my own and tried to figure out what I was going to do next. And that's when I came across a book called Finding Your Own North Star by Martha Beck. And in that book, it's all about reconnecting your social self with your essential self. Your social self being the person that shows up in the world and knows how to get things done and knows how to move their thing forward in the world. And then your essential self is just who you are at your core, who you're meant to be, how you're meant to show up.
Yes.
And there often becomes a disconnect because we get more focused on moving along in the world and getting along in the world than being ourselves. And so it was a book about reconnecting those two selves. And as I was doing those exercises, I think it was about chapter two. There's a bunch of exercises in this book. I thought, I want to do this with other people.
Wow.
Like, I want to help them.
So that was your inspiration
to
get in and start your coaching and consulting business.
Yep. That was the big wake-up call for me.
Yeah, that is awesome. And how long have you been doing this now, Elise?
So almost 10 years. In March, it'll be 10 years.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank
a decade.
You. I know. I'm going to have to do some sort of party or something, right?
You definitely.
Know? Some big celebration.
Absolutely. So I noticed that you, that find your way is one of your taglines. And isn't that what all good coaches do, help clients find their way and move forward in business?
Yeah, definitely. I think so, at least.
Yes, should.
Find their way, right? Yeah. But, you know, like I was saying, my experience that I had with coaching, like quote-unquote business coaching, was different. It was more about, it wasn't about the client, it was about the coach. So it was do my thing, right? They're, they were saying, do what I did. I'm saying, let's find your way of doing things.
Yeah, I love that. And I think if you're really specific in a particular industry like real estate or mortgage, having a plan that has been proven that can work and be able to plug that in to have something to look at is a good way. But you do have to bring in your uniqueness, as you said, and find out what type of passion that you have that you can connect to what you're doing, make sure it's the right place for you, and then how you can bring in your own personal strengths into the process. So makes total sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
So finding your way, what is that? Help my listeners see, what does that look like?
Well, it can look like a lot of things, but specifically, at least the way I do it, right? Or actually, at the highest level, finding your way is really about self-understanding and self-acceptance.
Okay.
And there's different ways to go about doing that. I love using assessments.
Yes.
I love, like the Myers-Briggs type indicator, the Enneagram. Anything that can help foster more self-awareness, I think, is a really good thing. And a lot of people think that awareness leads to action.
Okay.
But there's actually two steps in between awareness and action. And the first one is acceptance, and the second one's appreciation.
Yes.
And so it's one thing to start on the self-awareness path. It's a whole different thing to get to self-acceptance. And when you do that, then you can start to understand, who you are at your best, how you operate, what your patterns of success and what your patterns of failure are.
Uh-huh.
And when you know that, then you can start to set up and create the path that actually works for you.
Got it.
So like you were saying before, you can have a proven program for success, but then when you have that self-awareness and even more so the self-acceptance about how you're really wired and what you really believe in, you can combine those things to move forward in a much more powerful way.
And then it's a never-ending journey heading towards that
goodness.
Success.
Yeah. There's no destination. Exactly.
Exactly. So I imagine that's the first thing that you do then when a client hires you to coach and consult them. You're putting them through that process and that exercise to find that. And what does that time frame look like, Elise, when somebody comes in and is going through that process? Is that like your first couple coaching programs, or what does that look like?
Yeah, for the assessment process, it's the very first session.
Okay.
That's the very first thing we do.
Yes.
Because it just kind of gets everybody on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
And what I like about assessments is that when they're done well and facilitated well, they feel like a discovery and not like being put into a box.
Of course. And then that gives you the map that you need to really help to coach them into the direction that they are most passionate in and most natural in, the natural environment.
And it gives them the language. So, if anybody out there is familiar with Myers-Briggs, you have extroversion and introversion and sensing and intuition. You have all these words, all these, phrases and words that are in terminology that gets used. I always tell people, okay, you're going to learn all this in order to learn your type, and then I want you to forget all the terminology and learn how to talk about yourself in a real way. Right?
Oh, yeah, it makes
sense. Learn how to talk about yourself like a human being.
Yeah.
But those assessments can start to give them the words and phrases that they can kind of edit and alter to help other people understand them so they can move forward in a better way. It's not just about, I think the best assessments don't only help you understand yourself, they help you appreciate the differences in other people so that you can come together and do cool stuff in the world together.
Yeah, beautiful. So you call yourself a productivity coach. Explain exactly what that is.
Yeah. So it's interesting because in the realm of sales, productivity is often about production, like how much production did you do this month, right?
Yes.
And for other people, productivity in general, they can start to think of getting a lot of stuff done.
Yes, organization.
Organization, getting as much done as humanly possible. And really, productivity is about moving forward the things that you want to actually move forward, moving forward the things that matter most to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what productivity is about.
Yeah.
And so it's figuring out how to help people like flip that switch from let me just hustle and get as much done as possible and stepping back and saying, how can I look at what the priorities are, what I really want to move forward, and how can I move those things forward?
Yeah, and that it's so important because once you can help support somebody in creating that space for themselves, I always talk about releasing the emotional stress that you have attached to, because it's that emotional stress that is attached to a particular thing that blocks you from your creativity and really being able to get to the level of success that you want to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's why it's so important to have somebody that can support you through that process and to help you create that space. So has productivity always been your focus?
No. I mean, like I said before, at the beginning, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to be when I grew up, right?
Yes.
Going from Microsoft to real estate to what I do now. And so at the beginning, you know, you learn when you become certified as a coach, you learn to kind of coach what you know. And what I knew was career transition. So I started there. But in trying to grow my business, I started attending networking groups. So I was surrounded by entrepreneurs all the time. And I was like, I love these guys.
Yes.
So much fun. Because in the corporate space, when you are already really enmeshed there and you've got these great benefits, you've got the golden handcuffs, right? Making those transitions is hard. And even in accomplishing growth within those organizations requires a lot of permission from upper level management and things like that, or just the realities of how something is structured. And in entrepreneurship, what I loved about entrepreneurs is that they get to be as action-oriented as they want to be, and they usually are somewhat by nature, right? So they were a fun group for me to start to hang with. And they, you know, started saying, well, I know that you say you're doing career transition stuff, but can you help me? I'm stuck in my business here. I'm like, okay, let me see what I can do to help you. And a lot of the same concepts that you can apply in any kind of coaching apply, you know, in entrepreneurship as well.
Of course.
And so getting to make that switch was a lot of fun. But even then, I got more focused on helping people identify their purpose and align their business with their purpose. And so, and I did a lot of work with my own coach to uncover my purpose. So, like, my purpose statement is to foster understanding and acceptance of self and others so that we can come together to make the world a better place.
Yes, love that.
I had space for myself to make that a reality. But that's not always true in entrepreneurship. When you're good at it, you build up so much activity around you. And such really wonderful full lives that they can become overwhelming. And so what I realized is people couldn't get to living out their purpose and having their businesses and lives be more purposeful because they were just overwhelmed by day-to-day life. And so I needed to help them at the ground level and get more clear at the ground level so they could free up space to operate in a different way.
You have to be able to peel off those layers in order to open up that space. So do you do mainly one-on-one coaching, or do you I know you do a lot of speaking, because that's where I went to one of our networking groups and saw you on stage and thought, I got to get her in studio. And so do you do your one-on-one coaching? Do you have group coaching as well, or... what options do you have there?
I mostly just do one-on-one coaching or team coaching. So I work with either a solopreneur who is getting ready to bring somebody on to their team and they got to get things figured out, or I'm working with an entrepreneur and their team so they can get on the same page about what they're doing and get moving forward.
Okay, so last question before I take us to a break. Starting from the ground level, can you, well, actually, you know what, I want to hold that one because that's probably going to be a little bit longer. And so you've talked a little bit about how you got into your coaching industry. And, you know, really, I think it's important for that you've gone through that journey yourself, that you've been there, that you can help walk people through that process. So what do you think that it is, Elise, in where you can really help people think about their purpose and get them to that level before those layers have been peeled off?
So how do we get them to purpose?
How do you get them to even be able to think about what that, know, what their purpose is? Because that's a big, it's like trying to get somebody to say what their why is. I mean, it's hard.
It is hard. And so at the very, like the very first thing you have to do is peel some of those layers in terms of like getting them to a calm, quiet space. And sometimes they can do that in their busy businesses and sometimes they can't. So for some people, I can start, we can jump into purpose work right away. And that work just involves looking at their past, looking at their patterns of success, looking at their patterns of struggle. And when they tell me enough stories, it's really just a storytelling session. They tell me enough stories. I start to hear the words and the patterns that bring them to life, that get them lit up and bring the emotion for them that matters. And that's where purpose lives, is in that realm of emotion. It doesn't live where our brains have words. And so we have to figure out how to surface the emotion. And when you tell stories around that emotion, you start to get words that can get close enough to that feeling, which then helps you form a purpose statement.
That is so beautiful. Well, coming back, I'm going to stay right here with Elise. So coming back from our break, Overcoming and Overwhelm, Elise Enriquez with Elise Enriquez Coaching Consulting right here at 1150 AM KKNW after this short break.
You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to the Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, April 14th show. I'm here to help you build a strong financial blueprint one week and one show at a time. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast, but to talk with myself or the guests that I have in studio today, please call the show at 1-855-400-1150. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. In studio right now and for the remainder of the show, I have Elise Enriquez with Elise Enriquez Coaching and Consulting, Overcoming Overwhelm. And we've been talking about Lisa's coaching practice and how she really helps her clients starting out by finding their purpose, what's important to them, where they can really give back in this world, and then bring that into what type of business they should be doing. And Elise, before I took us to commercial break, we were talking about the ground level and really starting from the ground level and being able to build up. So can you share a little bit about what that looks like?
Sure. You know, you mentioned purpose just now, and purpose I see as the horizon level. It's where we're where we're going to go. And like we were talking about earlier, there's not an end destination, right? Mm-hmm. It's the direction that we're always heading.
Yes.
And so there can be a lot of overwhelm in business ownership and entrepreneurship and just life in general. Anybody running a household knows that there's overwhelm that happens. And that is the ground level. Like that's happening at the day-to-day level. It's not happening at the highest level. It's happening day-to-day, minute-to-minute, hour-to-hour. And so when you're starting at the ground level, it's looking at what is causing the most stress for you. Mm-hmm. Where is the overwhelm coming from? How can we pause and how can we look at something specifically that's keeping you up at night, right?
Yes.
And how can we figure out how you want that to really look and how to actually get it there using the simplest systems possible?
Okay. And I, you know, and I always say too, I mean, that purpose and that vision, that is the highest level. Mm-hmm. And then bringing it back to the ground level and taking one day at a time. So does that look completely different for each one of your clients? Because you're really dialing in and finding out, okay, where's your biggest challenge right now? Let's go ahead and tackle that, get that completed. I mean, I would imagine the challenges that people have, they're the same challenges all, you know, in all different areas, but it's what's providing them the most pain at that time. Would that be an accurate assumption?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you have common categories of problems and struggle and stress, but the specifics of them are unique and different.
Yes.
And so you can't take, while you might be able to take overall models and ideas and explain those to people, the application of those models, ideas need to be very individualized, very unique, and very specific.
Okay.
And that's why I love doing the one-on-one work that I get to do.
Yes, yeah. And I love the ground level. It's kind of the same thing. And really, working in the small and rejoicing in the small things at a time, those small successes, and being able to take one day at a time. Because I always talk about you can't leap a flight of stairs. You have to take one stair at a time, and then you'll make it to the top of the stairs. And crash diets don't work for a reason, because they're not sustainable. So you really need to build that foundation in order to, even if you naturally get, or if you overnight get to a success, you're not going to be able to sustain it. And, you know, we've seen that many times in working with business professionals. Mm-hmm. They've had that quick thing and then weren't able to sustain it because they didn't have that foundation to support that level of success. So, so important what you're doing, Elise. So let's talk about systems, because I know obviously you're a systems gal, and I'm kind of a systems gal myself as well. So we're kind of kindred spirits.
Yes,
I love your message because it connects so closely to what's important to me. So, why does systems matter?
Systems matter because anxiety comes from not knowing what's not getting done.
Mm-hmm.
The anxiety doesn't come from because there's worry. Worry is there's a very specific thing that I'm going to. I could worry last night about completely screwing up here today on the radio.
Yes.
That's something I could have worried about, right? But anxiety comes from not knowing what is not getting done.
Yep.
Not knowing which balls are being dropped, not knowing what's slipping through the cracks, not knowing, you know, which client didn't get called back, or you know, which email is in my inbox that is worth looking at or not looking at. You know, and like I said, good entrepreneurs, they create and generate a lot of activity in that swirl of success all around them, but it does become a little bit of a tornado. And
of
if they
course.
Step in any direction, they just get caught up in
yes.
it. In the eye of that storm is the calm.
Mm-hmm.
And the more systems you create, the bigger the eye gets to be.
Yes.
And the swirl continues to happen. But with the systems, you know what's in that swirl.
Uh-huh.
And you can choose to act instead of kind of getting caught up all the time. So those systems really give you the more of the peace and the calm and the ability to know what's not getting done.
Yes.
So that you can decide what to do about it. And you
yeah.
might decide to do nothing about some of the things that aren't getting done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's perfectly fine. Because, again, productivity isn't about getting more done. It's moving forward what matters most.
Yes, love that. And the systems allow you to have that plan. And that's what you're talking about. If you don't come in and have a plan of what your day is going to look like, then you're scattered and that causes worry. And really, I think the worry is about the big picture. When starting from ground level,
mm-hmm.
rejoicing in small, it's not about the big picture. It's about the one thing now and then moving on to the
yeah.
next thing.
The system uh-huh. also helps you create like that bonus brain that holds
yeah.
on to everything so that your brain doesn't have to hold on to it anymore.
Love that, the bonus brain.
Yeah, I love, like, that's the best thing about it is
yeah.
I have a whole bonus brain, right?
Yes.
that
uh-huh.
holds everything for me so mm-hmm. I don't have to remember it.
Yes.
There's a lot that's going on in our lives.
Exactly. And why we're here, we're talking about systems. So Sharon, how you manage your all of the things and tasks and things that you have to do, because I know that you are engaged in technology, which is
mm-hmm.
so important, right?
Mm-hmm.
And being successful.
Yeah. Yeah. So for me, like I said, I kind of keep saying simple systems because
uh-huh.
that's really important to me. I want
mm-hmm.
it to be for myself and for anybody I'm working with as simple as possible, right?
Yes.
And so, you know, when I think about what my bonus brain is, like
mm-hmm.
the systems I have in place for that, you know, first and foremost, I have my calendar, right?
Yes.
My Google Calendar is part of my bonus brain, right? Right? It's just,
uh-huh.
and that's free, right?
Yes.
So, but it holds everything, every place that I need to be at every time, right? I have this interview on my calendar right
mm-hmm.
now, but
mm-hmm.
I also have the drive time on there, right?
Yes.
On my calendar
yes.
too. So I know how long it's going to take. So I know that today I had an hour and a half of time outside of client sessions and here
uh-huh.
where I could do other work. Without my calendar, I wouldn't know that, right?
Yes, exactly.
And without having my calendar that well, tightly kind of managed,
yes.
I would just kind of think I had more time when really no part of that time was going to be in the car.
Yes, yes.
And who knows what the drive will be like after this,
mm-hmm.
right? But then the other part of it is just having a task list.
Yeah.
So the calendar is kind of the place to capture the action that has to happen on a certain day and time,
uh-huh.
and specific people usually. But the task list is the thing that captures any other action that has to happen.
Yes.
So I have one of two places to go to figure out what action I need to take, my calendar or my task list, and
uh-huh.
that's it.
And that's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
And the program I use for that is called GQs.
Okay.
There's a free version of it.
Uh-huh.
There's, you know, a paid version that's really inexpensive. But it's GQUEUES is how it's spelled.
Okay.
But it just holds if anything pops into my head, I just
yeah.
get on my phone and pop into GQs, and then I figure it out later. I
yes.
figure out what I have to do with it later.
And so that's the key big thing is if you are able to place it somewhere.
Yes.
It's safe,
yes.
Which allows you to release it. Then it opens up for you to be in your optimum place for creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And
presence.
I think, and presence,
yeah.
yeah, so important. I think so many people they rethink and they relook and they spend so much time. It's such a time waster when you don't have something that you can really allow your bonus brain to take advantage and have that stuff in a safe place. What about scheduling time with yourself? Do you put that on your calendar and the activities and things that you need to do to be successful to where you've got your block times
yeah.
to know that you need to do things?
Yeah, the main time that I do that, I have one time that I commit to myself. I have
uh-huh.
my morning time of like reading and doing that
yes,
kind of stuff.
Yes.
But as far as like taking a look at my system, taking
uh-huh.
a look at my bonus brain and
okay.
making sure it's up to date, I do that every single Friday morning.
Yes.
From 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. pretty much.
Uh-huh.
9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for sure. And depending on if I need longer, 9 to 11.
Uh-huh.
This week, I'm out of town. I'm flying out after this today.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to be able to do it. And so I did it today.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I moved that time forward a day to make sure I was going to have that couple hours to
yes.
look at my calendar,
mm-hmm.
to look at my task list. The other part of my bonus brain I didn't mention yet was, you know, kind of your reference system.
Okay.
And so that can be, you know, obviously your filing cabinet. And you know, for me, it's Dropbox where I keep all my computer files.
Yes.
But Evernote, which is where I would keep all my, you know, email templates and all those kinds of things. So having that time once a week where I go through my entire system, my entire bonus brain,
yes,
to make sure it's up to date for the next week.
Okay. And what would you say, Elise, to somebody that says they, you know, it's too hard for them to use a CRM, which is really the database to be able to manage their clients and activities. What would be your coaching answer to them?
I would say, do you feel confident that you followed up with everybody that needs to be followed up
Yes.
with? And if you don't, then you need to make the time.
Exactly. And I would imagine most of the time the answer is going to be no.
Yeah.
Because without being able to take advantage of technology and the ability for it to be able to store, organize, and you talk about you know, being able to have something to know if something's got missed or that really is what that is for. You don't have to think about what to do or who to connect with because it manages that process for you.
Yeah, it takes the thinking out of it. And it takes a little bit of setup, and that's where people fall short, is they don't take the time to create the system within the tool. There's no one CRM that's going to solve all your problems. There's no one tool that's going to solve all your problems. It's determining, how do you want that tool to function? Why did you get it? What do you want things to look like? And setting it up for that, that's what's going to keep you using it.
Yes.
Instead of, you know, paying however much you pay a month for a CRM system that you never touch.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and you have those two things, and you've talked about both of them, task manager and CRM, and they both are important. Task manager to manage you and your task and activity, or task, your CRM to manage your activities and stay in contact with your clients. And so also you've talked about that there's so many different out there. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important that you do your research and demo four or five, a handful that you've talked with other people that engage and use it, and find out what works best for you, as you said. And once you've made that decision, stick with it.
Yeah.
Because I use the example of when you're, you know, you go to buy a home. When we have inventory, which we're not in that market, we haven't been in a while, but when we get back to that market, back in the good old days, you would take a weekend and you would drive around and you'd look at massive amount of homes. Mm-hmm. And that was it. You would make an offer on one of those homes. And then you would buy your home and you would close. Now, as we've all been in a home and seen something else we liked in someone else's home, you don't go put your home on the market and sell it. Buy another one. But it's so much easier with a tool that you've picked in technology to bells and whistles that you hear something else. And that's why I think people don't stay engaged. They don't take the time to take the hard road to learn it to where they can make it part of their business, or they're constantly thinking there's something better out there and never really committing to it.
And they've never defined why they got it to begin with. So that's why I am a big fan of not investing in technology. Like when I jump in with clients, we work with what they already have first.
Okay.
Determine what the process looks like with the tools they have. And that might be an Excel spreadsheet. I don't care.
Okay.
Like, how are you going to use that Excel spreadsheet to stay in touch with your clients and determine what those touch points are? You get that locked down, then you know what you need out of a CRM.
Yes.
Right. So if you can get systems in place with the what might be considered the subpar tools ahead of time, it allows you to invest. And when you are investigating four or five CRMs, to be able to say which one is really going to be the best one based on this system I already developed with my basic Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah, great. So it sounds like you really take that tailored approach again with your clients. Where do you find that the biggest lack of utilizing tools that you found with working with so many solo and entrepreneurs?
Definitely in that client follow-up space.
Yes.
Whether it's a CRM, whether it's a spreadsheet.
And isn't that crazy? Because we're all in sales.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is about that connecting.
Yeah. Well, and it's, you know, I think a lot of times it's about thinking about, you know, whether it's the volume of connection or the quality of connection.
Okay.
And so when people don't take time, when they're just thinking, I need to make X number of calls a week, I need to make my 100 calls, you know, on Monday or Tuesday or whatever it might be, if they're not thinking about who they want to be talking to, why they want to be talking to them, what clients they really want to be attracting, they might not be talking to the right people. So it's first and foremost thinking about that. But then from that point on is, how often do you want to be talking to them, and about what do you want to be talking to them? I have clients who don't make very many calls, but the calls that they make are the ones they're excited about because they put on a lot of events instead.
Yes.
And so they're inviting people to events and they're inviting people into education because that's what they care about.
Exactly.
And so there's fewer calls, but they're higher quality.
Yes. And you just said, I mean, it's not the shotgun approach. It's really a strategic approach, strategizing on who you want to get connected with, having a plan of how you're going to touch them. So it's basically a system and a process that you are running through. And again, it's finding out what was it's important and unique to them that they're passionate about doing.
And if they're not doing it, go ahead and start with somebody else's plan, right? Go ahead and do it, whatever the guru in your industry says to do. Give it a shot and then make tweaks. But not doing it is not going to help you.
Exactly.
You cannot get information. You can't make those tweaks unless you actually try it.
Yeah. And I think it's going back again to rejoicing in the small. If you know, just thinking, well, what's this one phone call going to make? Well, it's not about that one phone call. It's about the one phone call now, the one phone call after that, and the compound effect that that's going to have. The alternative is you're not making any, and you're never going to get your business to that next level.
Exactly.
Yeah. So staying here with Elise, coming up next on the Money Hour, Overcoming Overwhelm, Elise Enriquez with Elise Enriquez Coaching and Consulting, right here at 1150 AM, KKNW, after this short break.
You're listening to The Money Hour with your host, Tina Mitchell, on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, back to the show with local mortgage and finance expert, Tina Mitchell.
Welcome back to The Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, April 14th show. I bring in each week in studio the best of the best experts in our local market on everything regarding money. I'm here to help you in today's economy. If you're hearing my show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast. You can call the show at 1-855-400-1150 or go online to themoneyhour.com. Again, that's 1-855-400-1150 or online at themoneyhour.com. I can get you connect with the guests that I have in studio today, Elise Enriquez with Elise Enriquez Coaching and Consulting. And we're talking about overcoming overwhelm. And before we go into the break, we were talking about CRM. And just for listeners that may not know what a CRM is, client relationship manager, you may hear it as contact relationship manager. And really, it's a database to be able to organize everything that's happening with your clients. And Elise, you were talking about the importance of strategically knowing when and how you're going to touch clients and how often. That's really what a CRM does, is to help you manage that that process. So for you, Elise, do you have specific processes and follow things that you follow and tools that you use?
I have overall processes and models that I use in my business and how I work with people. And I have tools, of course, I use in my own business for my own, you know, my own use. But my client's business is their business. And so, you know, it's not talking about, like, you know, pushing people to any particular product or any particular tool. It's about taking a model and helping them apply it to themselves in a deeply personal way. Because no, you know, no business is the same. No business owner is the same. No person is the same.
Yes.
So no session is the same, right? And so each path is going to be their own unique path that we develop based on, like you were saying before, like, tried and true practices, but customized to their approach and to what they care about most.
Yeah, and that makes sense. And finding out, you know, where their strengths at or where their excitement is in the areas and things that they're using to help them excel in their business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how do you see productivity related to organized and being organized?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting because I kind of think that anybody can be organized. Like
Really?
Don't know. I don't know if that's like a rebellious thing for me to say.
Well, I think anybody can.
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think we're all capable.
But so many are not.
Well, and a lot of people kind of think that it's this almost like you have an organized gene or not, an organization gene or not. Yes, you know, it's very either or they wrap up creativity in it. They think that, you know, you can either be creative or organized. I love both and thinking. I try to stay away from either or thinking and look at both and thinking. I believe that you can both be creative and organized. And I think a lot of people who are in business and the rainmakers out there, the people who are bringing in all the money and who are really great at sales, they kind of think like, I'm good at that. I'm not good at being organized. And I just don't think that's true. I think that you're capable of being both. And of course, there could be, you know, disabilities that affect, you know, people's brain function, sure, that can cause you not to be. But other, sure, than that, we're all capable of it. I think the reason most people are not organized is because they don't take the time to understand what things really mean to them. They, yes, don't have a good way of processing all the stuff, whether it's physical stuff, mm-hmm, or the demands, you know, upon them, whether it's emails or phone calls or, mm-hmm, text messages or ideas that they have themselves. They don't have a productive way of processing those to determine what these things mean to them. Because once you know what something means to you,
yes,
it's much easier to put them in a place that means something to you.
Makes sense.
And that's all organization is putting things where they mean something to you, where they, uh-huh, make sense to you.
Got it.
But if you don't do that first step of understanding what those things mean, it's, uh-huh, hard to figure out where to put them and what makes sense and what,
okay,
to do. And I'm not going to, there's definitely trial and error to it.
Yes.
You got to try some stuff and see how it works.
Of course.
But then it's just little tweaks that you're making instead of, mm-hmm, just, you know, overwhelming disorganization.
Yeah. And what do you think that you see as the biggest disorganization thing in people's business that causes the most stress?
Well, you know, something that causes a lot of stress is, uh-huh, email inbox.
Totally agree. I was waiting to see if you were on the same. It is the biggest emotional stress piece, I think, with majority of people,
yeah,
is that inbox. So what are a couple inbox tips?
Ooh,
that
my
you,
favorite tips? Oh, uh-huh, I can share inbox,
yeah, let's,
tips?
Let's hear your tips.
I wasn't prepared for this, but I got them.
I know, no, you do.
Well, it's funny because I was on a girls' trip a few 2 months ago,
uh-huh,
and we were all joking around about inbox stuff because they know that that's what I do, right?
Yes.
Inbox zero is my big, uh-huh, thing. And this woman's
inbox,
like,
zero, meaning no emails in your inbox.
No emails,
yes,
in my inbox at all, right?
We need to have an inbox zero party, you and I.
I know. But and for me, it's that getting there once a week, right?
Yep.
The rest of that's what that Friday morning that we talked about,
okay,
is for. Like having my Friday morning time is my,
uh-huh,
time where I get my inboxes to zero.
Okay.
They're pretty low throughout the week anyway because they were at zero the week before, right?
Yes, yes.
But my biggest tip, if you have thousands of emails in your inbox,
uh-huh,
give yourself permission to archive,
yes,
anything from the,
yep,
beginning of the year or
got
from
it,
you know, the end of the year back.
Okay.
Or if you know that you're pretty good, like from last month back,
uh-huh,
just toss it all into an archive that,
yeah,
takes thousands and for some,
yes,
people tens of thousands of emails.
Isn't that crazy
away,
that there are, and I'm sure that a lot of people listening to the show right now, they're, mm-hmm, thinking, oh my gosh, yeah, of course I have 10. It's like, it's kind of a norm.
Yep.
And that's craziest. I talk about a 30-day rule that in 30 days you archive it, because if you really think about it, if you haven't addressed and completed an,
yep,
email in 30 days, are you going to? And it's there. You can always go back,
yep,
and or put it in a folder or something, because having that, the idea of having all of that in your inbox is so emotionally stressful. We'll come back to this if we have time,
okay,
on some of your other tips.
I'm happy to.
So how do you see, your clients, do your clients ever want to talk about personal stuff? I imagine that you really get, well, I know because I know how you run your business, but you really are getting into everything with them, yes?
Yeah, yeah, everything.
Yes.
We get into everything. Yeah, and it's
so
kind
you
of,
really are a counselor as well.
It, yeah, right?
Yes.
Yeah, in fourth grade, that was the first time I got called a therapist.
Uh-huh.
I was, yeah, one of my friends in fourth grade said that I was her therapist.
Yeah. Love it. Oh my gosh. How cute.
Yeah, but there are definitely more qualified people that are therapists,
uh-huh,
not me, right?
Yeah.
So I'm a coach, not a therapist. But that's the disclaimer I have to say.
Yes.
But it's really interesting. I definitely have clients when they first start with me, the very first time they kind of have a personal thing they have to, they just feels weighing on them.
Yeah.
They kind of sheepishly say, like, hey, is it okay if we talk about this? You,
uh-huh,
know? And I'm like, yeah, we talk about whatever we need to work on. Like, whatever,
yes,
needs work, we work on.
Yeah.
Because as we figure that out, it's going to create room and space and definitely learning for them in their business as well.
Uh-huh.
So, it's, I think especially in entrepreneurship, like, when you have your own business and you're able to, you know, create your own schedule, like, life and work start to blend together a lot sometimes.
Yeah.
And so, if you are stuck on something in your personal space, I think it's really important to get unstuck so that you can free up your time and energy,
uh-huh,
for your business and,
yes,
to move that forward. And I learned that as early as my Microsoft days, back in the early 2000s, one of the first things that you learned as a manager is if somebody was underperforming, you ask them, is there anything going on that I need to know about that is affecting your ability to perform your job?
Uh-huh, yes.
So rather than just jumping on them and, like, you know, getting frustrated with them,
mm-hmm,
like, you're like, you want to understand them.
Sure.
And then that allowed us to then point them to HR and get the resources they might need and the,
okay,
support they might need that's out of our purview as you know, managers,
sure,
in a,
sure,
business, right? It's the same thing for yourself as a business owner.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not achieving in some area, it's good to stop and ask yourself, is there something that's going on?
What kind of block?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That I need to address. And unfortunately, we don't have HR departments that can point us to everything necessarily, but it allows us to see what's going on. So that way, you know, I might still point them to a therapist or to, you know, an accountant or, you know, to some other sort of professional. But I at least am going to give them the safe space to say what's really going on so that they can do something about it and get unstuck.
Yeah. And I mentioned in that first review of what's happening, it really is an opportunity to be able to open it all up and then coach around that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you yourself, Elise, do you have a coach?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yes. I have a coach and a therapist. Uh-huh. I'm both.
You are covered.
I am covered. I think it's good to have both, you know, when you need it. I'm always going to have a therapist, I decided. It's just good to have those tune-ups.
Uh-huh.
But I've had coaches. I've definitely hired coaches for specific expertise at different times in my life and business.
Uh-huh.
And so I've had anywhere from hiring originally when I first started my coaching practice, you know, master coaches that were mentoring me to marketing coaches, to profitability coaches, to my purpose coach that I worked with for so long, who I love dearly. And right now, the coach that I'm working with, is we're more focused specifically on messaging. But all of those coaches had the ability to flex outside of their narrow realm of expertise to support me in any way that I showed up.
Love that.
So my profitability coach was with me through my divorce.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like that takes a very special coach.
Yes.
To get somebody, you know, through divorce and increase their profits in their business.
Yeah.
Like she is forever. She's forever my hero.
Love it. And being able to have somebody from the outside see in is so important. And I always say, watch what mistakes other people are making, because sometimes it's harder for us to be able to be looking at the mistakes that we're making. But when you go and you look and see what else somebody is making, and then you take it back to you and say, well, am I doing that at the highest level?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, maybe, you know, maybe not. I need some improvement there.
Yeah.
I got to ask you, the key that you're wearing on your chain, what is that for?
It is, I don't know if anybody's heard of the Giving Key.
Okay.
Giving Key is a website where you can go and order these special, and you can get different words stamped on them. And so mine says every day. And so what is it you've been saying? You've been talking about
Live Your Dream Now?
No, your little embrace the small moment.
Rejoice in your small successes.
Rejoice in your small successes.
Yes.
So when you're saying that, it's like, oh, this is my key. I'm wearing it on the right day. So mine says every day.
Okay.
And that was my word for 2017. 2016. My word for the year was my phrase for the year was every day matters. And what that was about was realizing that you can have these big moments in life, but it's the everyday stuff that matters in terms of like the day-to-day connection with people, but also the day-to-day activities. It's the things that I do every day that are going to move me to where I want to go. It's the everyday way that I treat my partner that is going to bring me the relationship that I want to have.
Exactly.
And so my everyday key, even though it was my word for 2016, it's still my reminder.
I love that.
Thanks.
And I say every second of the day.
Yes.
You know, every second, and what you decide to do in that second is going to matter for the second after that. And it compounds into the life that you're going to live. While all the finding your way stuff is important, at the end of the day, isn't business just a numbers game?
Yeah, to some extent, right? And we kind of talked about it already. It's like you have to make contact.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
If you're growing a business, you have to make contact.
Yeah.
You have to talk to people.
Uh-huh.
You have to stay in touch with people. It's just going to be a matter of, you know, quantity and quality. And I'm a big fan of quality.
Versus quantity.
Yeah, versus quantity. And quantity is important. Certain quantities are important, but quantity,
as long as it's strategic.
Yes.
Yes.
And quantity only in and of itself, you know, gets in the way. Because when you focus just on the quantity, you get into that kind of the hustle mode, which is appropriate sometimes and for limited bursts of time.
Yeah.
And you get into that kind of mentality of like, oh, you got to get your nose to the grindstone.
Yes.
I don't want to build a life where my nose has to be to the grindstone at all times.
Yeah.
I want to build a life where I have room to be with my people and I have presence when I'm with my clients.
Yeah.
And I have the ability to go into a weekend and feel like I'm going on vacation for the weekend instead of feeling like I'm going to just stress and worry all weekend,
right? Yeah.
And so it's for me, it's a matter of, yes, you got to hit those numbers. Yes, you have to make contact. But how can you do it in a way that actually feels right to you? And now can you have the systems set up to support you so that you don't have to think about all that? So that way, as entrepreneurs, you're going to pick the destination. You know what your goal is because that puts food on the table.
Yes.
Right? That determines whether or not, you know, kids go to college and you are going to fly the family across the country for a dear family member's wedding, right?
Yes.
But that part's not hard. Setting the destination isn't hard. It's enjoying the journey along the way. And that's what I help people do is enjoy the journey.
Yeah. And and depending on, you have people that really just like to dial for dollars because that's their strength.
Yeah.
And they are, you know, like you have in the real estate space, you have your Mike Ferry and you have your Brian Buffini.
Yep.
Totally two different. Mike Ferry is make sure they have the checkbook ready and signed, and that is the hardcore. The Brian Buffini is the building the relationships, and I call it an opportunity game. And the opportunity game is where you're really, you do have to have the numbers in there, but it's so that you've got a chance to build those opportunities, and then you're building that relationship. So love that. We have a minute left, so I would love, I know you have much more than one tip for email, but share with my listeners as we wrap up our time, since it's the biggest time waster and emotional stress is one email tip.
So one more email tip. Okay, my biggest one I just have to say is unsubscribe.
Yes.
Unsubscribe. Yeah. Uh-huh. Like, delete. Like the first step was archive, and I have five steps to inbox zero. The first step is archive. The second step is delete and unsubscribe.
Yes.
So you just go into your, once you've archived everything, go in and sort everything by who it's from. And you've got that email from the, you know, whatever dealership that you bought a car from 10 years ago that you don't even own that car anymore.
Yes.
And they're still sending you stuff.
Yes.
You just sort by that and delete all of their emails and unsubscribe so that we are protecting your inbox moving forward from future
so
abuse.
Visualize that if you're listening to the show. What would it feel like to you if you were at zero in your inbox? I mean, I just get that butterfly and gives me a little bit of goosebumps because
it is a big deal. Well, because you know it's not getting done now, right?
Yes.
A cluttered inbox means a bunch of stuff that you don't know what needs to get
done.
And
you've got that emotional stress attached to that.
Yeah.
It's the, Well, Elise, I've had so much fun having you in studio here, and I appreciate your wealth of information. How do my listeners connect with you?
You can find me at my website, EliseEnriquez.com.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It was fun.
Yeah. And this is your host, Tina Mitchell, signing off for the day. It was a great day talking money today. I'll be here same time, same place next weekend right here on 1150 AM KKNW.